Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, indeed questions coming in from around the world. Today's broadcast is going to be a little different. I'm going to spend the entirety of the broadcast talking to an author about a transcendently important subject. As always, you can contact us on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Two books available for your support of the ministry this month, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran and The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, both authored by Robert Spencer. If you get both of the books for a gift of $100 or more, we'd be pleased as well to send you any one of the books as you support the ministry this month. Again, you can support us in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Joining me now on the broadcast, Robert Spencer. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
I want to start the broadcast, Robert, by quoting Barack Obama. He's speaking at Cairo University, and he says that as a student of history, he's well aware of civilization's debt to Islam. It was Islam that carried the light of learning through so many centuries, paving the way for Europe's Renaissance and Enlightenment. It was the innovation in Muslim communities that developed the order of algebra, the magnetic compass, the tools of navigation, our mastery of pens and printing, our understanding of how disease spreads and how it can be healed. Islamic culture has given us majestic arches and soaring spires, timeless poetry, cherished music, eloquent calligraphy, and places of peaceful contemplation. And throughout history, Islam has demonstrated, through word and deed, the possibility of religious tolerance and radical equality. And the question I want to ask you, Robert, is, does he have to say this, or does he really know that what he is saying simply does not cohere well with the facts?
I expect that, in the first place, he certainly does not have to say it. There was no reason for that, and I had forgotten exactly how effusive and ridiculous it was. But the fact is that I do think that he believes it, but it is absolutely false. There were Muslims who did do some of the achievements that he enumerates. Some of the other ones that he attributes to, not even to Muslims, but to Islam, were actually performed by Arabic-speaking Christians and Jews who were under the hegemony of Islamic rule. Many of the things that he talked about, the preservation of learning of ancient Greek manuscripts and so on, and the innovations in medicine, those were done by non-Muslims who were in the purview of the Islamic Empire. And so now Islam is being given credit for it. It seems as if, as far as the president is concerned, anything that's done by a Muslim shows how great Islam is, if it's a good thing. And yet when Muslims perform acts of violence in the name of Islam, those have nothing to do with Islam, even when those Muslims are quoting chapter and verse of the Quran to justify what they're doing. But it is a whitewash of history, as you say. We could spend the whole time going through in detail how each one of the assertions that he made is not quite true. But the overall fact is that it just reflects Obama's agenda. And consistently throughout his presidency for 7 years now, he has done everything he could to try to inculcate in Americans a positive view of Islam while denigrating Christianity and Judeo-Christian civilization at every other possible opportunity.
Dr. Robert Spencer, he's the director of Jihad Watch. It's a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of 14 books on Islam and jihad, and he has led seminars on Islam and jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups. And the very thing that Robert just talked about, he discusses in his book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. And there's a fantastic section. I mean, he talks about the PC myth that Islam was once the foundation of a great culture and a scientific flowering. Another question I have, Robert, is if you look at what Obama says, it's not all that different from what Tony Blair has said or Hillary Clinton is saying or even what George Bush said before.
That's correct. That's a very good observation. As a matter of fact, both parties in the United States echo the same line about Islam in general, that it has a glorious history and was responsible for a glorious civilization, and that the present-day terrorists do not represent it and actually contradict its teachings, and that the vast majority of Muslims are peaceful and are a great asset to the United States, and we need to welcome more of them in. There's no difference between either party on that, no difference between Bush and Obama on that, no difference between Obama and McCain or Romney, and most of the presidential candidates running now would say the same thing. And nobody seems interested in examining the implications of the plain fact that Islamic jihadis do invoke the Quran, the holy book of Islam, and the example of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, to justify what they do, and that they make recruits among peaceful Muslims by saying, look, we're just following out what the Quran says. We are the true Muslims doing exactly as we are directed to do by the Quran.
You know, the current narrative, as we're talking about, is being candid about Islam is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims, and that exacerbates hostilities that would otherwise lie dormant. I imagine you would say that's a PC myth.
Yes, it's also ridiculous. I mean, I know it's very common, but think about it. What they're saying is that Islam teaches peace and that Muslims are peaceful. But if you say that Islam is not peaceful, the peaceful Muslims will become so enraged that they will become violent. And so we have to keep on saying that Islam is peaceful in order to keep the Muslims peaceful. Now, there are many absurd things about that, but one of them is Muslims are not taking their cues as to how they should behave as Muslims from what non-Muslims say about them. And the idea that a Muslim would be so enraged by some words by some non-believers that he would take up arms and do something that just a minute ago we were told he objected to doing in principle, it shows that maybe he wasn't really that much of an opponent of that kind of violence in the first place, if it was that easy to get him out of it.
Sure. Let's pan back a little bit and look at this from a global perspective. Right now, the focus is on terrorism, and rightly so. But I think you have observed that there's a greater problem at hand, and that is migration without assimilation, like the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion.
Yes, absolutely. The Quran, the Holy Book of Islam, does not offer salvation through the cross and resurrection of Christ or by any other method. It just says that if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll go into paradise. But if your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, you'll go into hell. But there are two exceptions to that. Paradise is guaranteed to those who kill and are killed for Allah. That's chapter 9, verse 111 of the Quran. And so paradise is offered to somebody who is a suicide bomber, in other words, who kills and is killed for Allah. The other exception is that paradise is guaranteed, is promised to those who emigrate in the cause of Allah. This is in chapter 4, verse 100 of the Quran, that those who leave their homes in order to bring Islam to a new land, then, and they die in that new land, then Allah is it's incumbent upon them. He's obligated to give them their reward. And so the idea of emigration is very important in Islam, going back to when Muhammad himself emigrated from Mecca to Medina, and in Medina became for the first time a political and military leader, and not just a spiritual teacher of spiritual ideas or a self-proclaimed prophet. And so after that, because Muhammad's example is so important for Muslims, as specified in the Quran as well, if you move from one place to another and bring Islam to a new land, then you have this tremendous reward from Allah. So what we see in this migration crisis is exactly that, this is something that the Islamic State predicted. They said in February that 500,000 refugees would soon be descending upon Europe, and there have already been jihad terrorists among the refugees in Paris, as well as in the United States in San Bernardino. One of the shooters there had passed five separate FBI background checks, not FBI, but five separate background checks from the FBI and four other government agencies. So we see that there's a big problem. There are jihadis among the refugees, and that's entirely to be expected, since emigration as well as jihad against unbelievers are both so repeatedly encouraged in the Quran.
And when you talk about the Quran, again, the Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift, check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. You know, I traveled to Tehran in 2012 during the 33rd anniversary of the overthrow of the Shah, and I spoke at the University of Tehran and Allama Tebetiba, and I walked the streets of Tehran in the middle of the night, and people wanted to take pictures with me, and everyone treated me with great respect and kindness. That's one portrait of Islam, and when you see that portrait, you say, wow, Islam really is a religion of peace and tolerance. But the other side of it is the side that I think everyone needs to know about. Help us come to grips with this dichotomy, as it were, a portrait of peace on the one hand when you meet peaceful Muslims, and the fact that Islam is simply not a religion of peace and tolerance.
Well, the thing is, we have to make the distinction between Islam and Muslims. What Islam teaches is not necessarily how every Muslim is going to behave in every situation, any more than what the Bible teaches is how every Christian behaves in every situation. We know, of course, to turn the other cheek and love our enemies, but it's very hard for Christians to do that, and there are plenty of examples of Christians not doing it. In Iran, the people there, to a tremendous degree, are very, very tired of the Islamic regime and are increasingly skeptical about Islam itself as a result of the oppressiveness of the Islamic regime. And so I'm not in the least surprised that you were very welcomed very warmly, because when they're always damning America as the great Satan, they are paradoxically making those who are fed up with the Islamic Republic think America must be a great thing, because it's clearly the greatest foe of this oppressive and brutal regime. How every Muslim believes vis-a-vis every aspect of Islam is a spectrum as large as it is in any other religion. They're very devout Muslims. There are also Muslims in name only and everything else in between. And so you might meet Muslims who are wonderful people and are truly charitable and kind and peaceful and tolerant, but that doesn't change what the Quran says or what the various schools of jurisprudence of Islam teach. And unfortunately, they all do unanimously teach that it is the responsibility of the Muslim community to wage war against unbelievers and conquer and subjugate them.
We just have a minute or so before we go to break, but just give us a little glimpse of the clever way in which you put together these books.
I'm not quite sure how to answer that. The books are designed to be easy to read and ready references, and so I do put in quite a lot of sidebars, material that is a little bit off the beaten track, something that might bring a smile. That is designed to make the whole presentation more attractive. After all, these are very heavy subjects, and a lot of people are afraid even to approach them, and so I try to make the books as accessible as possible.
We're talking to Robert Spencer again. He's the director of Jihad Watch, which is a program at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of 14 books on Islam. He really knows what he's talking about. I'm sure you can discern that just by listening into the conversation. He's led seminars on Islam and jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups. The two books available for your support all this month, one, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, the other, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. You will enjoy reading them. I was talking about the clever nature of the books, the sidebars, even the contrast between Quran and Bible as you go through are illuminating. Again, you will want both of these books for a gift of $100 or more. They're both available. Remember what you do as you stand with a shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth is making a difference, not just here in the West, but around the world as well. We're going to be back in just a few moments with more of Robert Spencer, so please don't touch that dial.
Islamic jihadists boldly attack innocent people on the street. This is just one sign of the eroding Judeo-Christian worldview and values that once dominated the West. We are in a fight for our lives, not against flesh and blood, but spiritual warfare. For this reason, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. To receive either one of these books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Surrogacy today is an increasingly popular reproductive option for infertile couples, but could bringing a third person, another woman, into God's plan for human reproduction be a good thing? The article, When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She surveys and evaluates the practice. Other topics include unexplaining the Mormon priesthood ban on blacks, a Holy Spirit encounter with a Jehovah's Witness, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Anselm, in defense of greatest being theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. President Obama quoted from the Quran, "Whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all mankind, and whoever saves a person, it is as if he has saved all mankind." Now, that sounds compassionate and peaceful, but Obama simply ignored the very next verse, which mandates punishment for anyone whom Muslims do not regard as innocent. Find out how Islam and the Quran are being whitewashed by political leaders and pundits in Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Receive either book as our thanks for your gift simply by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We won't be taking your calls today because I'm doing an interview for the entirety of the broadcast with Robert Spencer. He's an expert on Islam. I have read through his books, and I have heard a lot of his speeches. I've heard many of his interviews. He is extraordinarily knowledgeable, and these two books are extraordinarily helpful as well. Robert has done so much, including leading seminars on Islam and jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups. And once again, glad to have you on the broadcast, Robert.
Great to be here, Hank. Thank you.
Really like the section in your book on the Crusades. For years, I've been answering questions on the Crusades, and so many people bring this up as a canard. You think about anything you could say about Islam, it's trumped by what we did in the Crusades. They were an imperialistic venture on the part of Western Christianity invading the East. That's another PC myth.
Yes, absolutely. The reality is that the Crusades were a late and small-scale defensive reaction to 450 years of Islamic jihad conquest. At the time of the death of Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, which is traditionally marked as the year 632, the Arabs then swept out of Arabia and within 20, 30 years had amassed a tremendous empire. Going from North Africa over to Persia and stretching all the way across what had been the second great power of the world, the Persian Empire. They completely conquered that and conquered a great deal of what had been the Christian Empire, the Byzantine Empire. They conquered well over half of the Byzantine Empire's territory. Now, the fact is that there was nothing done. The Byzantines did not have the strength to strike back and reconquer all of that, and they never made any attempt to, and the Byzantine Empire continued to shrink. There was no response by Christians. Now, people might say, well, sure, Christians aren't supposed to fight, but most of the Christian groups, Christian churches throughout history have acknowledged that there's a right to self-defense and even a duty to defend one's homeland and family, but nothing was done. It was only in the late 11th century and early 12th century that after hundreds of churches had been destroyed in the Holy Land and Christian pilgrims persecuted, and the Byzantine Empire lost a disastrous battle against the Muslims in the year 1071, that the Byzantine emperor appealed to the Pope for help. And in 1095, 25 years later, the Pope actually finally responded and called on the warriors in the West to make their way across Europe and go into the Holy Land to defend the Christians there. And they did conquer some territory, which was not the original plan. And there were Crusader kingdoms there for a couple of hundred years until they were defeated finally by the Muslims in 1291. But this was just a tiny bit of the territory that had been conquered and Islamized previously, won back for a limited period, and it was after all this Muslim aggression that had conquered so much of the world had gone on without any response.
I have a question that I think is really foundational. Robert, we've talked about the fact that Islam is not a religion of peace or tolerance, but maybe a more foundational question for me would be, is it a religion to begin with, or is it a political, social system or matrix of laws?
Well, actually, the answer to that question is yes and yes. It's both. It is a religion in the sense of this. I understand a religion to mean some system of beliefs and ideas that claims to unite human beings with God, or claims to represent God to human beings in some way. And in that sense, Islam is certainly a religion. But it is also a political and social system. It's got a political extension that Christianity does not have and never has had. And it teaches that the system, the law of God, that Sharia, the Islamic political system, is the law of Allah, the law of God, and that it is superior to any man-made law, and that one of the goals of jihad, warfare, is to dislodge non-Muslim governments or governments that don't rule by Islamic law and replace them with Muslim governments that rule by Islamic law. And Islamic law is not subject to reform or to parliamentary deliberation or anything of the kind, because it is the law of Allah. It's immutable, unchangeable, and perfect.
You mentioned what's going on in Europe earlier on in the broadcast. I want to get to that, back to that for just a moment. There's a problem in the EU countries and even in America and Canada of a negative birth rate. The native population's dying out. What is the consequence of that, and how can we combat that kind of a problem?
Well, we've simply got to change our mindset and understand that it's not all about ourselves alone. I mean, this is really the apex of selfishness and individualism and a deep decline in the idea of community and community identity. The idea that people might have a responsibility to the nation, to the church, whatever, to have children, that would be unheard of. Nobody would dare speak in that way. And so the consequences are this. I put up at my website, Jihad Watch, a story from Austria that every second school child, 50% of the school children in Vienna today, are not native speakers of German. And if you can imagine what that means, that in a very short time, Austria, Vienna and Austria as a whole, are going to have Muslim majorities, and Austrian society will be transformed forever. And people, if they think, well, do I really want my children to be living in an Islamic state that does not allow Christians to be on an equal basis with Muslims, but mandates a protected status and a privileged status for the Muslims and a subjugated second-class status for the Christians? Do I really want that for my children? Nobody's thinking about that, but that's what's coming. It's coming in Austria and all over Europe because of the decline in the non-Muslim birth rate, the rapid Muslim immigration, and the very high Muslim birth rate.
Do you think that in any way what happened in San Bernardino in California or in the Paris terrorist attacks, any of that is a wake-up call, anybody's attention aroused to the point in leadership of making some kind of strategic change in thinking?
I certainly would hope so, but I haven't seen any sign of it. Most of what's happened after San Bernardino is a reinforcement of the existing attitudes, including the existing mistaken assumptions. For example, also at Jihad Watch, I put up a story about how after the mass sexual assault by Muslim migrants in Cologne in Germany and in other cities across Europe on New Year's Eve, in which many huge numbers of women were sexually assaulted by Muslim migrants, and in accord with Islamic teaching about non-Muslim women, The European Catholic bishops are saying we have to guard against right-wing groups and Islamophobes who would oppose Muslim immigration. The idea that we might want to limit the Muslim immigration in order to protect the women of Europe and to protect the future of Europe doesn't seem to enter their minds. And it's amazing to me that this has not been a wake-up call, but I think that we're going to need a few more before people as a whole do begin to wake up.
On a personal level, I want to ask you a question. You may not want to answer it, but I'm going to shoot anyway. You're a man who's really put your life on the line. You not only know what you're talking about, that's a threat, but you're talking about it around the world. What is the level of danger for someone in your position to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect, but to give that answer?
Well, I think, you know, I have to acknowledge that I've gotten a lot of death threats, and that has been something that has occasioned a great deal of reflection. But I do believe that we have to speak the truth, that if truths are not being enunciated that I was in a position to enunciate, then I had a responsibility to do that. And so, you know, none of us has the next moment guaranteed. And so I am willing to go ahead and do this, but I don't have any illusions. I know that there are people who want me dead, and maybe they will get me someday. But, you know, nobody, it's not as if I'm not going to die if I don't do this. And yes, I heartily agree with your statements. We have to speak the truth in love, and in season and out of season. And we're very out of season these days, but that's no excuse to stop saying what's true.
Robert Spencer, he's the director of Jihad Watch. It's a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's the author of 14 books on Islam, so he knows what he's talking about, Islam and Jihad. And he has also led seminars on Islam and Jihad for the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups. So again, we're talking to an expert on a subject that has transcendent importance for you, your children, and your grandchildren. We are in the midst of a clash of civilizations, and it's critical for every Christian to be equipped, to always be ready to give an answer, as Robert is, for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. We have to be able to communicate the distinction between the Quran and the Bible. Oftentimes they're equated as though both are holy books, and therefore both are worthy to be esteemed in the same sense. The truth of the matter is the distance between the Quran and the Bible is the distance of infinity. One is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. The other is thoroughly human. In fact, to read the Quran is a tedious process. It's toilsome. It's difficult. And we have to be grateful for those who have done the hard work for us, that have really taken the time to understand those 114 surahs or chapters. And that's precisely what Robert Spencer has done. And the Christian community owes him a great debt. The two books available for your gift all this month, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, as well as The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Either book available for your support this month. For a gift of $100 or more, be pleased to send both books out to you. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter. This is not about being politically correct. It's about being correct with respect to the audience of one. Because everyone is going to, as Robert alluded to, stand before God and give an answer for what we did while we were here. The book's available. Check them out on the web at equip.org or write me a post office box 8500. Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be right back with more of Robert Spencer.
Because the challenges of a rapidly spreading radical Islam will confront us for years to come, remaining ignorant about Islam cannot be an option for thinking Christians. That's why CRI has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and provocative books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Bet your teachers never told you. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Mothers are uniquely positioned to influence their children's intellectual formation profoundly. When they themselves become dedicated learners, mothers are better prepared to initiate spontaneous conversations that will inspire their children to think more deeply about Christianity. In the cover article, Motherhood and the Life of the Mind, Melissa Kane Travis maps out a strategy to make this goal attainable. Other topics include When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She, Quentin Tarantino's Postmodern Theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Everything, well, almost everything you know about Islam and the Crusades is wrong, because most textbooks and popular history books are written by left-wing academics and Islamic apologists who justify their contemporary political agendas with contrived historical facts. Learn the truth in Robert Spencer's Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive your copy of either book as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are engaged in a very intriguing discussion with Robert Spencer. He's the director of Jihad Watch. It's a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and he's the author of many, many books on Islam and jihad. He also has led seminars on Islam for the FBI, for Joint Terrorism Task Force, the United States Central Command, and other intelligence and military groups. And he joins us again for the final segment of the broadcast. Robert, you're very, very familiar with the word Islamophobia. In fact, you have a segment in your book on Islamophobia as a weapon of jihad. Perhaps we should be talking about Christophobia as well in our culture.
I think that's much more prevalent, as a matter of fact. I mean, after all, Muslims are persecuting Christians at to an alarming degree in Iraq, in Syria, in Pakistan, and elsewhere. And there is no place on earth where Christians or anybody else are persecuting Muslims to anything like the same extent. Islamophobia is a trumped-up word, a made-up word, and it's a propaganda word that is designed to intimidate people into thinking that there's something wrong with resisting jihad terrorism. Islamophobia is used to refer to attacks on innocent Muslims, and of course those are never justified under any circumstances. But it also is used to refer to speaking honestly about the texts and the teachings of Islam that Islamic jihadis use to justify hatred, violence, and supremacism. And in that sense, it's just designed to shut down discourse and make people ashamed. I think one of the most notorious examples of what I'm talking about was back in 2007, when there was a plot by some Muslims to go into Fort Dix, the army base, and kill as many American soldiers as possible before they themselves were killed. And the plot was discovered by a 17-year-old boy who they went into a video store because they had all these gory, bloody jihad videos that they enjoyed watching, but they had them on VHS. And they asked him to transfer them to DVD. In the course of his doing his job, he saw what was on them. He went to his manager and asked what he should do. And he said, "Should I call the police or would that be racist?" And so yeah, I thought, when I saw that, I thought, that's the most amazing thing, that we have been battered with this idea in this culture for so long that he was worried that to stop a mass murder plot might be racist. And that's the whole Islamophobia agenda in a nutshell.
Another issue that is really on my mind is the advent of care, and not only its advent, it's been around for a long time, but the fact that it has such an incredible place in the media today. Every time there's a terrorist attack, you see their spokespersons out in front setting the narrative.
It is amazing, because the Council on American Islamic Relations has been designated a terror group by the United Arab Emirates. And in the United States, they are looked to as an authority on Muslims and Islam. They've also had many of their officials arrested and convicted on various terror-related charges. They have opposed every counterterror measure that has ever been proposed or implemented. They have been named an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas terror funding case and have ties to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. And so this is not a group that should enjoy that kind of mainstream access. And it shows how corrupt and willfully ignorant our mainstream media is that they would grant CARE that kind of stature when they have this kind of record that they have.
We're talking about ISIS or ISIL or the Islamic State, but not many people are talking about the Wahhabs. And it seems to me that in many ways they are just as fundamentalist or maybe pure when it comes to Islam. You could say that's authentic Islam as much as ISIS.
Yes. Well, the thing is that ISIS comes from Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda gets its understanding of Islam from Wahhabism. So the Saudis, which is the Wahhabi kingdom, of course, they're directly responsible for the rise of ISIS. And it's sort of poetic justice that they want to destroy the Saudi kingdom, because the Saudis have spread this understanding of Islam throughout the world. And there is no difference. The things that we're appalled that ISIS does happen on a regular basis inside Saudi Arabia, and they're supposed to be our ally.
We're talking about a very, very significant issue, the issue of Islam. Two books available for your support all this month. The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. Also his book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Both available for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I think it's important to make a distinction between how Christianity advances by the word in contrast to Islam for 14 centuries having advanced by the sword.
Yes, you're quite right. The thing is that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, said, when you meet the unbelievers, first invite them to convert to Islam. If they refuse, and let's see, on that score, we're both Christianity and Islam are missionary religions, and there's a similarity. But then he says, if they refuse, then offer them to enter into the Islamic social order, which means ask them to pay the special tax that the Quran specifies for non-Muslims under the hegemony of Islamic rule, and to accept the humiliating and discriminatory regulations that Islam mandates for non-Muslims in the Islamic State. In Islamic society. And so if they refuse both of those, then that is conversion or subjugation, then go to war with them. And this is how the Islamic world became the Islamic world, that Islam, the government was conquered and the Islamic government put into place. And then the non-Muslims were subjected to so much discrimination and difficulty that ultimately when they realized that all they had to do to get rid of the difficulty and discrimination was to convert to Islam, they did convert to Islam. And then, of course, Islam forbids leaving Islam, and so the whole thing was well on the way to making for an Islamic society.
Robert, explain the word Levant. We hear ISIS and ISIL, the L, having to do with the word Levant from the French rising, but what I want to get at from your perspective is the significance of that particular landmass.
Well, it is, of course, the Holy Land, as well as Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan, the Eastern Mediterranean area. And the Islamic State, or ISIS, or ISIL, it's all, of course, the same organization. And it called itself the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant up until June 29th, 2014, when it changed its name to just the Islamic State alone. And the ISIS-ISIL difference comes from whether you translate the Levant from the Arabic Sham or leave it as Sham, and it's ISIS. Some people say it's Iraq and Syria, but that's not actually what the word means. And of course, the Levant is extraordinarily important geopolitically because of the disputes over the land of Israel. And it's interesting to note that there's a great deal of controversy nowadays about the occupation, the occupation that the Israelis are carrying out in the West Bank and formerly in Gaza. But the Gaza was occupied by Egypt, and they're not Palestinian, from 1948 to 67. And Jordan occupied the West Bank, and they're not Palestinians. And no, there was no peep about Palestinian rights or Palestinian state then. Obviously, the controversy over the Levant and Israel in particular is really about the fact that in Islamic theology, only Muslims must rule, not non-Muslims.
Talking to Robert Spencer, two fantastic books available for your support, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran and The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. For your gift to the ministry, either one of them sent out to you, just choose the one you want, or if you give a gift of $100 or more, I'd be pleased to send you both of those books. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Talking about the Quran, and we haven't spent a lot of time on your book in that regard, but let's touch on that for just a moment. I've often talked about the Quran being feigned eloquence. In other words, the emperor has no clothes. It is replete with factual errors and faulty ethics. Your take?
Yeah, you're quite right. People talk about its sublime music and the Arabic of the Quran being the most mesmerizing and wonderful poetry ever conceived. This is much more hype than reality. In reality, the Quran does sound compelling and has a lot of rhyming and rhythm in Arabic, but it also has grammatical errors, factual errors, contradictions, and more. It is clearly a book that was put together in order to inculcate certain principles that would buttress the brand new Muslim state that had been amassed by these conquests. And so it has this has a very martial and strident and angry tone, and it blesses warfare and killing and hatred and so on. And so this is why it's enduringly problematic. And Muslims generally will insist that it's the most sublime and wonderful book ever written, because this is what they are constantly told. And you hear something all your life, and you are subjected to it all your life, you're going to believe it. But if you look closely at the Quran, it does not have any basis in fact.
Robert Spencer, we are deeply grateful for your contribution, for the two books you wrote, and you've written many more. We're going to be featuring those on our web at equip.org, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, as well as The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. In the near future, Robert's going to be back. We're going to be talking about Islam's impact on women. This is one of the most unbelievable things you will ever hear. If you're not familiar with it, you will see the irony that the West promotes women's rights, and at the same time you have politicians talking in glowing terms about Islam and equality. And I can tell you one thing, and Robert points this out in his books, there is no equality for women under Islam. And I mean no equality. It starts with the fact that a man can marry up to four women. A woman cannot marry up to four men. A man can beat his wife. And we're just scratching the surface. Robert will pick it up next time when he joins us on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember the books available for your support all this month? Our outreaches around the world could not be doing what they're doing without you standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. What you do through your partnership really does make a difference. Contact us on the web, equip.org, or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. See you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, simply by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.